This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread,' or 'A friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There's a video that floats around social media, and I get sent, as a pastor, I get sent it every couple months from creators who I think are really funny. I can't quote it word for word. There's some choice words in there, so I'm going to give you a little preview. Here's how it goes. Scene. "Our Father, who does art in heaven." Wait, do you think it's "who does art"? Well, yeah, "does our Father who does art in heaven." Frankie, you think it's "who does art in heaven"? Arts and crafts? But why, I forgot which character I am, but why would they say art? Because they're old. Jokes aside, are you 100% sure it's not "does art"? Frankie, I'm confirmed. "Our Father who art in heaven." Well, what does that mean? He art, like you art over there. "The kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So doing art, exactly, proved my point. No, how is that confirming art? End scene. This funny video, I think, demonstrates sometimes we say things and we don't really know what they mean. I love getting this. I laugh at it every time someone sends it to me. And I'm like, yeah, when we use old prayers, sometimes that Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we don't talk like that. We don't use that language, and we don't think about what we're saying sometimes. So it becomes kind of second nature just to recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday here in church. But today we're just going to look at the words a little more closely, some of these verses in the Lord's Prayer a little more closely. The way that I started researching for this sermon, I read a lot of different interpretations and adaptations and versions of the Lord's Prayer that people have written for whatever context they're in or culture they come from. So I'm going to begin with one that I like. This is one from Parker Palmer in Peace Prayers, written kind of as a prayer, or kind of as a poem. "Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign of peace to come. We pray that your good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river between us, from each one to each one. Lead us to holy innocence beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, Mother, Father, come. For yours is the power and the glory and the mercy. Forever your name is all in one. Amen." So every once in a while, it's maybe necessary to stop and analyze and remember why the words that we say are so important. And it's not just church of ancient words that we don't know what we're doing, but we are active participants in church. So we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. This began with the disciples asking Jesus, how do we do this? How do we pray? Jesus, you pray a lot. You go off on your own. You go in silence. And, you know, why do we do that? What's it for? How should we do it? And this shows Jesus caring about prayer, that he does it himself, that he demonstrates it, and then he teaches how to do it for everyone else. So our first line of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is very simple, and yet this translation of Father from Abba to Father is revealing an intimate, close, personal God. It's a caregiver, a parent, someone who knows us well, followed quickly by a reverence for God's holiness. Holy is your name, hallowed or Halloween is your name, great and sovereign. And this is a new relationship with God that the people maybe haven't known before, because God was always distant and in heaven or somewhere else. And now Jesus is bringing God into our lives, at our tables, in our cars, walking with us on this journey, the Father. The next line is, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think about this as the earth and the heaven coming down into one, these thin spaces that we experience the heavenly realm while we are earthly bodies here experiencing earth as well. One theologian said, The kingdom will be fostered by the hands of those faithful who work for a better world. These believe that Jesus' commands to feed the hungry and clothe the needy make the seeds of the kingdom already present here on earth. And there are spaces where heaven is already here on earth. It's not something that we're waiting for in a distant future, but heaven is already here with us in the kingdom of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is caring for our basic needs, our basic physical ways of living, keeping us alive, sustaining our bodies, in knowing that when we eat, when we sleep, when we drink water, when we move our bodies, those are sustainable ways that we then can use our bodies to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is sometimes translated differently with sins or debts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Also indicating maybe a reference to the failures to use opportunities for good. So we pray for those opportunities to come that we see good in them. We can work for the good through those opportunities. This forgiveness is free, without action or apology or anything from us. Freely through the love of Jesus on the cross. And maybe the prayer in this is to live through that forgiveness into the forgiveness to others. Not that we're already doing that, but that we need some help doing that. We need to pray and ask for some more in doing that forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The way that I learned it on internship was, save us from the time of trial. There's a couple other translations that are, do not let us be led by ourselves, by others, or by Satan into temptations. Or, do not let us fall into temptation. I like that language that kind of takes God out of being the one doing the tempting. And I don't think that's necessarily what it really means, but God is not tempting us into evil into our temptations, but that is a product of being of the earth, being of the world, being in our bodies, that we need some help with that sometimes too, to ask for deliverance from that, to save us from the time of trial, to not let us fall into temptation. And the last line, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus continues after teaching the disciples about this with a call for persistence in prayer, a call for seeking goodness and righteousness from God with faithfulness. Ask, is what Jesus is saying. Ask, and the Lord will give goodness. I went to a yoga class this week, which I don't do very often anymore, but it used to be a part of my regular routine. A few years ago, I would go twice a week, hot yoga flow. It was great, loved it. I don't know why it fell off. Some things just do. And as I'm sitting there going through some of these poses this week, I'm like, dang, this is so good. I should do this more, as I'm in the middle of it. And I think we do that with prayer sometimes. Like it falls off somewhere, and then when we're in the middle of doing the prayer or saying prayers or creating prayers, we're like, ah, dang, this is so good. I should do this more. Because it's something that we forget easily. It's something that we recite or just get done with, and it creates space within us for the Holy Spirit to move and make more room when we pray. You might have noticed that I like to write prayers in my sermons and in other places in worship, but sometimes I forget about that too. As a pastor, sometimes it comes as, oh, I have to do this. It's just another thing, another task to get done. And then I get in the process of it, of being creative and using some of the Holy Spirit to be in that process. And I'm like, this is good. I like this. Prayer softens us, makes us more grace-filled, compassionate, God-like beings. But we've tasked it with another thing in our bulletin to do, another slide in the deck for us to go through. So my prayer for you this week is that saying the Lord's Prayer, or maybe some of your own prayers, find some new life in doing it. Amen. I shouldn't say amen. I did write a prayer. So let's pray. God, may our reciting of old stuff find new life in how we live through your truth. May our muscles remember when our hearts drift away. Remember that your love loves us deeply. May we be moved to compassion through prayer. And that prayer leads us to actions of justice and mercy for our neighbors, for the ones who trespass against us, and for forgiveness for the ones who don't even seek mercy. May the world receive you with open arms and open hearts. Amen.